Worship That Never Ends, Commentary for the March 23, 2024 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others. Psalm 16, verses 1 through 3. As a child, from kindergarten through my senior year of high school, I attended public schools. Thanks to being part of the baby boomer generation, the schools were full, and the high school I attended was one of the largest in the state. In fact, there were four large public high schools in our county, and resources were often spread thin throughout the school system. I remember enrolling to learn German in junior high school. There were 30 students in the class and only 6 sets of teaching materials. It was difficult at best to learn anything under those conditions. If it was frustrating for us students, it must have been disheartening for the teacher to struggle with such limitations. Fortunately, we now have online learning programs like Duolingo and Babbel, so that language learning is open to anyone with internet access. As a result, according to statistics on the Duolingo website, more students are learning other languages online nationwide than are learning them in a standard classroom. One aspect of public school education that may have arisen from the limited resources, or may have been simply to teach teamwork skills, happened in science classes that required lab work. The first day in the lab was filled with anxiety. That was the day that lab partners were assigned. Each student would be teamed with one or more other students to complete assigned lab experiments. By high school, everyone knew who those students were who dedicated themselves to learning and who those were who would sit in the back of the classroom and coast, cracking jokes about other students and the teacher. Sometimes the teacher would assign lab partners based on similar personalities. Other times, it would be random. This meant there might be audible moaning when an A-average student found themselves paired with someone who could care less about science, and the realization hit that they would be working alone for all the help the other student would be willing to give. At times, a poor attitude about learning was not the student's fault. It could be the result of a difficult home life. Divorce, abuse, and abandonment issues were too common. While drug use was not as common back then, alcoholism did as much damage to families as drug abuse does now. In fact, it still does. Private schools were able to refuse enrollment to students who did not measure up to a specified standard, but public schools were required to offer education to all comers. Education was even mandatory up to a certain level, and public schools were the option of last resort for those who had little interest in learning but had to attend anyway. When students who want to learn are stirred in together with those who do not, it can be difficult even on the best of days. But when those students are forced to work together as partners, it can be hard for the gifted student who is intent on maintaining a grade point average that will get them into the best colleges, and frustrating for the student who has no interest in further education and will be happy to land whatever job comes to hand, a job that probably does not require much knowledge of chemistry, biology, or advanced mathematics. To be fair to both students, these different goals should be recognized in such a way that both can find fulfillment in school and afterwards. We often labor under the delusion that there is a perfect life that all should strive for, where uniformity is a key to happiness. This has had a large part to play in how our education system has developed. It is structured to produce the ideal modern citizen. The goal is similar, whether fostered by a democratic educational system or a totalitarian one. Each strives for a similar product. Inculcated with the moral values of their culture, each student is encouraged to find happiness within that cultural matrix, and their future is shaped by their conformity to those values. Those values evolve as society's needs change over time, and the schools are expected to provide updated products as Citizen 2.0 or 3.0, etc. Sometimes those updates occur naturally, and at other times they must be forced. Brown versus the Board of Education, forcing the integration of the public school system in the United States, is an example of the latter. Despite lack of funding and overcrowding, this is one thing I admire about public schools. When change must come, they work out how to accomplish the update. Whereas private schools are often redoubts resisting changes that are occurring in society. Some even refuse those students who would embrace the change. Labels such as heretics or liberals are given to these students depending on whether the private school is religious or secular. We already have too much divisiveness in society. We do not need schools that only add more. Education should inculcate aspiration, a desire to continually seek self-improvement. The idea that one finishes a certain number of years of education and then never again cracks a book or seeks to learn a skill they did not know before is a tragedy for both the individual and society. The self-enrichment of continuing to learn and grow new skills also enriches the lives of those we associate with and the overall richness of culture in our community. This is one of the reasons that in my 70s, I am continuing to learn the German that I struggled with so much in my teen years. I could ask myself why. After all, how many more years do I have left that continued learning could affect? Why shouldn't I just kick back and rest during the years left to me? But I have learned during my life that if I did so, the remaining years would be nowhere near as glorious as they would be if I kept striving for new experiences and new knowledge. This brings me to a conversation I had with my wife about Psalm 15 and the verses I cited at the beginning of this commentary. We discussed whether anyone was like the person mentioned who was so perfect in all their ways. We decided the person described is an aspirational ideal. Certainly King David, the reputed author of the Psalm, was not such a person. He committed adultery with another man's wife, and then to prevent the evil deed from being discovered, he murdered the man and took her for his own wife. If we swap the numbers in 15 around, we get 51. And if we go to Psalm 51, we discover David's prayer of repentance as he seeks to reestablish himself on the path of righteousness. Why would he do this? Why didn't he simply say, despite all the other women he had, I finally have the woman of my dreams. Let us live out our lives together in one another's arms. But David aspired to be like the man in Psalm 15. He was committed to that ideal, and even when he stumbled and fell off that path, he sought to return to it. This may be one of the most important principles we can learn. The Bible tells us repeatedly that we can look forward to eternal life because of God doing so much to open the doors to paradise to us. But if we stopped learning and growing at the point we were no longer forced to do so in school, and if we were to look at our level of happiness since graduation, will we find enough stimulation there to keep us from boredom over the course of eternity? Even now, some self-medicate with alcohol and drugs to deal with the depression and boredom of life. Some give up entirely on finding what they need in this life, while some see verses like those in Psalm 15 as demanding obedience to a divine autocrat and go about demanding everyone obey or be damned. That does not fit with God's loving character. He takes no delight in the death of these discouraged souls. He is love personified and not willing that anyone should perish, going in search of every straying individual, offering healing and restoration. While it hurts our heart when those who profess to love God fall into corruption and sin, we should not succumb to the desire to weed out every sin to create a theocratic paradise during our short lifetimes here on earth. If we did so, there would be no one left alive, and in the end, with only us remaining, we would not have accomplished our purpose of rooting out the evil, for we, too, are sinners. Heaven will be a different kind of place. Since it is sinless, any perceived skill we feel we may have at eradicating sin will be useless there. Therefore, it is not necessary to spend so much time training ourselves for that purpose. But we can train for eternal happiness. What will make that eternity delightful is our ability to love one another. That is something we can begin doing now. Instead of throwing stones at one another over our faults, let us do as was suggested to Jesus in the wilderness. Let us turn those stones to bread to feed one another in our need. That is a metaphor that will bring joy to everyone's life, no matter how long it lasts. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, along with scripture footnotes supporting the ideas shared in this podcast, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds of other podcasts, commentaries, and articles, as well as links to books by the author at that website. Once again, it's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.